From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome into this Monday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio this afternoon, or actually right at noon, 12:02, as we hit the record button today. We'll talk some baseball, some football, Ole Miss. Overall, pretty rough weekend at home, losing 2 out of 3 to LSU. A crazy comeback on Saturday kept that from being much, much worse and being a sweep at the hands of the Tigers. So where Ole Miss is right now, what's ahead, and why the next 2 weeks are pretty critical, including the end of spring football was Saturday. The Grove Bowl happened Saturday afternoon amid the rain there in Oxford. So that and more coming up today, tomorrow, really, as the week moves on the show. Brought to you every single day by the Oxford Exxon Highway 6 West in Oxford. Download the SpeedPass Plus app. Use it, because when you do, you earn points. And when you earn points, you save money there with the Oxford Exxon. Any Blue Sky location in Mississippi, and pick up a lunch special, $5.69, two sides, bread, 32-ounce drink, or the hot case. It has pork, chicken, side items, desserts, and more. And again, coming to you from the Clark Ford studio.
We are Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900 is the number. Call it. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what Ford product you're looking for. And he'll make sure that you get a quote within 15 minutes in business hours, right to the bottom line. No hassle, no haggle. You get the quote. And the rest is up to you. Even if you're not in the market for a Ford vehicle necessarily, call Corey, get a quote. It's going to help you moving forward wherever you go. The car market's kind of different this year because of all the closings during the pandemic. Factories got shut down. So you have a glut, and then you have a lack of vehicles. It's just a different market this spring than it is in most springs. So you want to make sure you have a little expertise within your wallet, if you will, when you head to the dealership. 662-257-1900. Guest, join us this week on the Rafters Music and Food Hotline. Rafters Music and Food on the Square in Oxford. Be the perfect place to go this weekend. Watch NFL Draft later this week. Mm-hmm. You got Major League Baseball. You got NBA headed down the home stretch. Ole Miss in South Carolina at home this weekend as well. So a lot to hang out and do. Also be a great place just to grab a burger, grab a po' boy, enjoy their appetizer menu, enjoy the great beer selection, full bar, everything at Rafters Music and Food on the Square in Oxford and also in New Albany.
Did you learn more from the actual Grove Bowl or from the softball game that happened prior to it?
I got there as the softball game was ending.
Uh-huh.
And then the rain came. And then
it was kind of miserable there for a few minutes with the rain and the wind and the whole deal. It was crappy for a second.
The rain came, and then the game started, and it was like most every other spring game I've ever watched anywhere. Yeah. And then about late third quarter, I got in my car and left because I needed to get home for the Zoom,
right?
Because it was safe for me to be there, but not safe for me to talk to anyone there. So you had to be very careful.
The league is being very stubborn about this at this point. They have not changed their tune at all. It's on the league to an extent. It's on a lot of states to an extent because not enough states have opened for them to realize a majority or at that point. I think that's a lot what it is. And, you know, it's like so many different things. It's a lack of looking at any individual situations. Everything has to be one way across the thing, which is kind of amazing. I mean, it's even the NCAA thing. I mean, you and I have not necessarily had a podcast since then. They come out last week, say that 50% item is not a recommendation. However, it is a mandate for regional, super regionals and the like moving forward. And what cracks me up about that is it takes state rules into effect in no way. But then let's say a state is overrun with COVID, just for the heck of it. Okay. Well, that's saying that actually we're saying that if the state said it's okay, we're fine with you putting too many people in a stadium. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like the across the board thing is what kind of amazes me. Whereas if they would like to have stayed out of it, just simply said, hey, follow whatever your state's recommendation is, and that is the rule moving forward for the regional and super regional round. it takes liability off them, and it just makes common sense. So I don't know.
Every one of these venues is an outdoor venue. No one can find the outdoor super spreader event. We just ignore it. I'm not even going to get started. It's so ludicrous. And this is becoming more of an issue for Mississippi State than it is Ole Miss, but Ole Miss might get it in the regional conversation.
Yeah, sure.
So you can have weekend after weekend of mostly full houses.
Mm-hmm.
And then just because you put an NCAA tournament emblem on the field, you have to limit that to 50%.
Yeah.
There is no common sense in that. I think even the most, and I know I upset some people out there, even the most hardcore liberal person would have to admit there's no common sense there. There's none. What's Ole Miss's last regular season weekend?
Vanderbilt.
What's the date on that? Do you know?
May 17th-ish.
Okay,
so
2 weeks later, Ole Miss, let's say Ole Miss hosts a regional.
Sure.
As the 14 overall seat.
Sure.
They can put 11,000 people in the per game at the Vanderbilt series.
Mm-hmm.
Or 12 or 11, 8 or whatever. But they have to limit it to 5,000. For the NCAA regional.
Yes.
Or 5,100, whatever.
Whatever the number is.
Whatever that number is. Half of whatever the stadium holds.
Yeah, sure.
Explain that to me logically. Like I'm a fifth grader. Explain it to me so that it makes sense.
Well, then all these stadiums are going to do creative, weird stuff. Like, I don't know what Ole Miss is necessarily going to do, but you could at least make the argument that you could have something that looks even dumber at Ole Miss. You could, like, again, I'm just making the argument. I have no idea. Keith might go, yeah, we can't do that. That's not my point.
Sure.
My point is you could at least make the argument that because the student section is on city property, not campus property, and is not within the confines of the stadium, that you could put 8,000 in right field, but only 50% everywhere else.
I would have a tremendous amount of respect for that move.
That at least is a theoretical possibility from a design of the campus.
Well, you've been to these things. I've been to these things. I've covered them at multiple places, as you have too. I've covered regionals at Ole Miss, at Auburn, at Florida State, at a bunch of places.
Miami, Arizona State, Texas.
Tons. Sure. The NCAA people are the biggest collection of anal retentive idiots.
They protect their tournament.
In the history of man.
Yes.
They're horrible. Horrible. Horrible, horrible people.
They are, but they do border on just being bad people.
No, they don't border. They're just bad people, and they have no common sense. They would lose their minds at that. So here's when, if they put a mandate at 50%, they will count it. It won't be like this deal, and whatever the mask rule is, I feel sorry for the security people that are charged with this. If they have some mask rule in place, you know, everybody else is kind of like, you got a mask rule, you got to wear a mask to come in, but you really don't. They'll have people patrolling.
Yeah, I know.
It'll be a miserable experience. I highly recommend you don't go. I'm being honest. No, I'm being totally serious. I would say that to anybody at Ole Miss or Mississippi State or whatever. I mean, the truth is if you're looking for a silver lining, if your team doesn't host a regional, it wouldn't be fun.
It's not a normal situation by no stretch of the imagination. I mean,
But can you even come up with it? I mean, even playing devil's advocate, can you come up with anything that you could explain to me where I would understand the logic, not the policy, the logic behind, on May the 17th, you can put 12,000 people there for Leiter versus Nikhazy, but on May the 31st, no.
Well, no one can. No one can.
So they're going to do it. That's what's insane. It's insane.
I guarantee they never thought for a second on going, hey, tell every state to do whatever. And they'll do it under the guise of this fairness thing. And they'll go, no, we're going to make our own rule.
Fair to who? Who's it fair?
It's never necessarily fair to anybody. It's just what you tell yourself in your head. Everybody's the same. So we're going to.
Yeah, but I mean, my point is, who's it even being fair to? When we've covered this, I mean, the four seed from, and in this case, it's probably going to be very local because they're going to want to make sure teams don't travel because God knows what happens when you travel. I mean, the pestilence and death.
If you can explain to me how getting on a plane for an hour and 45 minutes is much different than getting on a plane than 2 hours and 45 minutes, I will be stunned to know. But
well, here's one. if you can explain to me how getting on a plane for an hour and 45 minutes is more dangerous than getting on a bus for 7 hours,
right?
I'd love to hear that logic.
Yeah. The plane that clearly has better filtration systems.
Yeah. I'd love to hear the logic. There isn't any, but okay. But regardless, they're going to bring some, I don't know, who's a potential four from Louisiana?
Jackson's eight. Okay. I mean, whatever. Southern.
Okay.
No, who cares?
If you polled their kids, hey, you know you cats aren't winning the College World Series, right?
Yeah.
This is your reward for winning the swag. Y'all want to play in front of 12,000 or you want to play in front of five?
12, please.
12, please. All day.
And here's the deal. The NCAA is still sort of making it up as they go. I'm going to post to herbalgrove.com today kind of where I think Ole Miss's resume is at this point. But here's the problem with that. There's so many things we don't know. They're using a, quote, hybrid approach to how they picked host sites. Merit, location, and then you'll love this, other factors. What those other factors are, I have no freaking idea. But other factors. So that's playing a role as well.
I keep thinking some of these teams that schools that are playing in places that have been opened up are going to get punished.
Maybe so. I don't know.
And I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either.
I have a suspicion.
It's why it's impossible to predict because I don't even know. Like Ole Miss is actually a pretty good example here. So let's say Ole Miss has a pretty good next 2 weeks, beats South Carolina 2 out of 3, beats A&M 2 out of 3, and they're 14-10 in the league. It's a very plausible thing that could happen.
Sure, of course.
They're going to probably be in a regional, good position to host a regional at that point.
Yeah.
They're going to have an RPI around 12. They'll probably host a regional.
Sure.
And that's an RPI around 12 with a couple other things I'll talk about in a minute. But anyway, then what if, because this is also possible.
Sure.
They lose 2 out of 3 or get swept by Vanderbilt. And then let's say they lose 2 to Georgia. Georgia's playing okay. They're 500 in the league. It's in Athens.
Sure.
Well, then they no longer have a hosting resume. So does Ole Miss play in their own park as a 2 seed? Or do they get sent to the 2 seed in North Carolina and 4 other teams come to Oxford and play in that regional?
Is that even a possibility?
The NCAA has not clarified. It says we'll see later. All we're doing is picking 16 host sites. It doesn't say who has to play at them.
Yeah, but they're not doing that.
Then you're going to punish the one? And send them to Oxford with being the 2?
Well, look, the way I read it is in 2 weeks we're making these decisions and the next 2 weeks just don't really matter.
Because the super – no, they're not seeding until the end, though. They're just picking 16 hosts.
My guess is that in that scenario, Ole Miss would play at home as the 2.
Maybe so. Because they have pointed out, hey, if you're a super regional host and you don't get out of your regional, those 2 teams are still coming to your park and your people have got to run the tournament.
Yuck.
Oh.
Yuck.
And that's why I think you're right and why – I mean, I think I agree with you. I'm just posing that they haven't clarified.
No, I'm not arguing. Listen,
well, my point, though,
I don't put anything beyond
my point is
NCAA.
Who runs it. So, okay, like, logistically, let's say that even is a possibility. And if it's not, then we'll find out in 10 minutes and cool. But, well, all of Ole Miss's ops people are with them at their regional. So who the hell is running the regional here in that instance?
I guess you'd have to, in that scenario, go – find a school nearby that didn't make the tournament and bring their ops people in to run it.
Or tell the one that is playing in the tournament as the 1 seed in your place, hey, you're in charge of our whole stadium and facilities?
Y'all probably need to come down here on Monday because we need to give you a crash tour.
Yeah. I mean, it's very possible that if Ole Miss didn't advance, Tulane and Clemson could play a super regional in Oxford.
Sure.
Yeah, like whatever. Now, I don't think Ole Miss is in the national seed conversation. And when I say that, I mean top 8 seed.
Yeah, no, I don't.
But no,
I wouldn't think so.
It would take.
But Mississippi State is. Let's put them. Let's say State gets a. Let's say State gets a national top 8 seed, and they're hosting and in line to host a super regional.
In theory, they could get bounced out of theirs and then have 2 other teams play in Duty Noble. Yes.
I mean, if they were to lose their regional, that is exactly what would happen, right?
That is correct, yes. Well, it would take both hosts losing.
Yeah, sure.
But yes, in theory.
Yeah.
Because the eight hosts for the Super Regionals come out of those 16.
So let's say they
hosts.
Paired up Ole Miss and Mississippi State.
And they both lost
to play in a Super Regional. And neither team got out of the regional round.
Yes, Tulane would play La Tech in the Super
in
Regional
Starkville.
In Starkville.
With State's people having to man the...
That is correct, yes.
That'd go over well.
I mean, there would be some humor in State.
I mean, it would be funny, and we laugh about it.
But it's stupid.
But I would also, in the midst of it, when those people complain, like, what the hell are we doing? I would say you have a very valid point. Because it wouldn't be that complicated in that scenario. Let's just play that out, okay? Tulane comes to Oxford and knocks off Ole Miss.
Sure, whatever.
Louisiana Tech goes to Mississippi State and knocks off Mississippi State.
Sure.
How hard would it be to go, hey, Louisiana Tech, you've done this. How many weekends this year? You've hosted weekends in Ruston? Do it again. Hosting a super regional, Tulane's coming to your place. Arrange for them to get in on Wednesday. You're going to have a media day on Thursday. You're going to play Friday, Saturday, and potentially Sunday. Why would that be so hard? Because of COVID protocols? Because the stadium's not sanitized? What the hell's the reason? This is so stupid. It's like, hey, to prove that there's no hand raised guy in any of the rooms, there's no person in there going, hey, why are we doing this? I mean, I realize that person would get fired so fast, but why are we doing this? What is the reasoning here?
Yeah.
Are we saying that in that scenario where Louisiana Tech goes to Mississippi State and wins and Ole Miss gets beat too, and now you're having to scramble, are you saying that you don't think the people at Louisiana Tech have the intellectual capacity to put together, and I know this is going to be big, a baseball weekend when they've just done it in February, March, April, and May? Are you telling me they couldn't throw that together?
The NCAA claimed that because of safety protocols, it takes 3 weeks to certify a park.
What does that even mean?
I don't know.
But someone needs to ask the question, hey, certify the park. Okay, can you take me through a checklist of what the F that means? What does that mean? Does it mean you have to have enough Purell in each location? Or how hard would that be? I grew up in Ruston. They got a Walmart.
Go buy some hand sanitizer.
Okay, I mean, they do. They got a Walmart. You got to get some baby wipes. They got those, too. People have had babies in Ruston. They got a hospital and everything. So, I mean, I'm asking.
I'm not picking on you here,
but I'm just asking in general. I wish they had a call because I'd get on there and say, can you explain to me, please, in detail, like I am a fourth grader, what is the word, certify? What the hell has to happen for a park to be, okay, we made it, it's certified now? I mean, what the F does that mean? And I know everybody goes, oh, you're a jerk. I'm Clay Travis. I'm compared to all of these people. But these are legitimate questions. What does that mean? I'm hoping Ole Miss gets one of them because I'm going to get on the call and say, hey, when you guys talk about getting Swayze certified for COVID, can you take me through the checklist on that? Because I don't know what the hell it is we're talking about. Do you have to have like Lysol things hooked up to like air guns that every 2 minutes blow Lysol into the air? I mean, what is it that we do? Do you have to like take each third baseman's temperature at the top of the sixth inning? What the hell? I'm asking, what is it that, because I'm watching all these other outdoor activities at all these different places. Or what's it called? Love Field in Ruston? Why would you not be able in this scenario, which is very unlikely, but I'm hoping for this level of chaos in case you can't tell. You're telling me that you couldn't get Love Field certified between Sunday and Friday? Then holy shit, man, I want to know what this is for these 5 days because I'm now legitimately scared. Mm-hmm. I've lived in Ruston. I've been exactly where Love Field is. I've been to countless games and baseball camps on that spot of land.
Yeah.
My dad taught up the hill in the education school. I used to walk down the hill from my dad's office to go to the games or the camps.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm familiar with this area. Now, I'm not familiar with this particular location, the actual engineering of Love Field, because I've not been there yet. I'm told it's very nice.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess, just based on the money that was involved, that it's fairly modern, that they have an air system in the press boxes and such. But it's open air. I grew up in Ruston. Lots of people have grown up in Ruston. To this point, there's been like no nuclear reaction or something in Ruston. So the air is quasi-fresh.
Yeah, fine.
So what the hell are we talking about? And why is no one else asking this question? What does that mean? Well, it's going to take 3 weeks to certify it. I mean, shut up. It's idiotic. It really is. It's so stupid. We should absolutely, people should be pushing back. People should be, the ADs of the world should be the ones having these conversations on the record right now, putting pressure on people, saying, what does that even mean? Why is this necessary? Why are all these steps necessary? Explain it to me like I'm a six-year-old.
It's unnecessary. It's punishing teams for no reason. And it's just stupid. All in one.
All of those things.
Because, like,
I'm not sure I'd go in that order, but yeah. But you're absolutely punishing the student athlete.
Florida has a really good record.
Okay.
And we'll go to break. We'll come back in a second. But Florida has a really good record.
Okay, sure.
They're still in a hosting conversation from a record standpoint. Their RPI is 32, though.
Okay.
It's not good enough. They play Arkansas the last week of the season in Fayetteville.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that doesn't mean jack crap as far as hosting in Gainesville at all.
Right.
So they have a number one RPI opportunity on the road the last weekend of the season to boost an RPI, and that does not matter.
So they could technically go to Fayetteville, sweep Arkansas, and it wouldn't matter
Ole Miss plays Vanderbilt at home. Same situation.
Doesn't matter.
This is getting decided on whether Ole Miss is one of the 16 host sites prior to Ole Miss playing Vanderbilt at home.
Right, and no one's asking, I assume, yeah. Correct me. I'm going to pick on a couple of your friends here.
Sure.
Kendall Rogers, yeah. These people who could get these answers. They're so far up their ass that they won't ask the question.
No,
why are you doing it this way? They're as guilty as the basketball writers are of going, oh, man, if I ask anything bad, I won't get to go to the big dinner at St. Elmo and dip my shrimp.
Mm-hmm.
They won't pay for my Coors Light. I mean, this is a legitimate, why are we doing this? You've done this other way for years and years. This is an outdoor sport. Literally, correct me if I'm wrong, there are no baseball teams in the mix that play indoors.
Zero.
So what are we doing?
Yeah, none.
Where is hand-raised guys? Why are we doing this? We are literally creating volumes of red tape that are completely unnecessary. You're telling me that so let's use Arkansas as an example because uh-huh. They keep moving they've been a lot more conservative than Mississippi sure. About moving it up. I think it's like at 62% or something now.
Okay.
So they've been doing this incremental thing up. But because the NCAA needs to certify Bomb Stadium or whatever it's called,
mm-hmm. They're
going to bring it back down to 50 and only after it's certified.
Correct, yes.
But if Arkansas gets bumped, because they're going to be a national seed, it's very clear.
The number one national seed.
Yeah, they'll be one of the eight. So they're going to be in line to host a super regional. I think it's safe for me to say that.
Sure.
But if they get bumped out of a regional, you tell their people, hey, you guys got to come back for another week and do this so that Texas Tech and Louisiana Tech can play in Fayetteville.
Yeah.
Instead of playing that series either in Lubbock or Ruston, where people would actually give a shit.
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah. I'm in.
Podcast brought to you in part by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. Underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. They're getting local underwriting. Understands your market. A leader in condo financing, the float down option, and more. You can find Jason at 662-234-2704 or JLOWA at communitymtg.com.
Oh, we're brought to you by Lammons Fine Jewelry in Oxford. Lammons is at 1126 North Lamar Boulevard in Oxford. They don't need 3 weeks to get certified. They've had more than 73 years to get certified as the gold standard in fine jewelry, engagement rings, wedding rings, fine jewelry, watches, pearls, fashion jewelry, children's jewelry, and more. LammonsFineJewelry.com or call them at 662-234-2777. I wasn't even all that worked up before you got here. And then you start talking about stuff that just makes no sense at all, and it drives me nuts. We're also brought to you by Comer Heating and Air. Comer Heating and Air is the name you can trust. They bring more than 50 years of professional HVAC experience to Oxford, Tupelo, and the surrounding area. At 662-801-1777. Make sure that cooling system is in tip-top shape because you know what is coming. It's also, we're brought to you by the College Corner. It's one-stop Rebel Shop, two locations in the Jackson area in Ridgeland. The College Corner is next to Fleet Feet in Flowood. It's next to Half Shell. If you don't live in Jackson, it's not a problem. Go to collegecornerstore.com. You can check them out on Facebook and Instagram as well. So whether you're tailgating in Oxford or homegating with friends and family, the College Corner has you covered for game day, the largest selection of Rebel gear in Central Mississippi. Also brought to you by Pinnacle Trust. They're based in Madison, Mississippi. They've got clients in more than 20 states, advisors in multiple states as well.
They provide detailed, specialized investment management, financial planning, retirement planning for individuals and businesses, and so much more at Pinnacle Trust. Investing is treated like a commodity, and decisions are made using objective information and research, not emotions. What they do is they sit down with you. They put together a comprehensive, detailed financial and retirement plan built just for you. It's pintrust.com, PINNTrust.com. Mention that you heard about Pinnacle Trust on the podcast. You get 10% off your first year's fees.
Podcast also brought to you by Northeast Spark. Service people across rural communities. Two internet packages, the Ignite 100 Mbps or the Blaze, the 1 gig that powers the Clarkport studio. Your hometown team bringing you world-class broadband. NESpark.com, 662-238-3159. Phone services available, as well as parental controls, network security, and a wireless mesh extender. So find out if they're in your area. There are tons all over Oxford now. Lines going in every day. So give them a call, 662-238-3159. So, yeah, from an overall resume standpoint, Ole Miss, 15 in the RPI, as I said. There's six or seven SEC schools vying for host spots, depending on how you want to factor Florida into this at this point,
okay.
Because their record is good. But they've, even worse than Ole Miss, beaten up on bad teams for the most part. 8 of their 11 wins are against A&M, Auburn, and Missouri. That's not very good when you look at a resume. Ole Miss playing that first weekend well is saving them right now. That is giving them a shot in the, of adrenaline that they would not have and would be in Florida shape, frankly, at this point.
Because they have that. Two and maybe even three really quality neutral site wins.
Three. Yeah, Texas Tech, Texas, and TCU are all top 20 in the country. Two of those in the top 10.
There you go.
Yeah, no, that is the gift that keeps on giving. Now, from an eye test standpoint, it being the first week of the year does not help the Rebels very much. But from a metric standpoint, it's huge. Okay, RPI, let's go through this real quick because a lot of people don't understand this, and I'm not going to take long for it. But I get the question every day, why is Fairfield number two in the RPI? Why is it so screwy? It's never screwy this late. What's going on? How much does it matter? It's because the Big Ten, the MAAC, the, I guess the, is it the Metro American? No, Mid-American. No,
is it
not
Mid-Atlantic?
Is it Mid-Atlantic?
I don't know.
Anyway, whatever the MAAC stands for, it's just Ryder.
I couldn't
Fairfield.
Tell you where the hell Fairfield is.
It's
I know
in New
nothing
York,
about
it.
I mean, I can start doing the Wikipedia Fairfield update, but I don't know.
Metro Atlantic. Okay.
Okay.
I thought it was Metro, but anyway, Metro Atlantic. So
Metro Atlantic?
Yeah.
Like, what does that mean?
So for those purposes, can we call it the MAC, even though it's not the MAC? Can I just do that for colloquial purposes?
You're going to confuse people, but yeah.
You think so?
Well, because the MAC is the Mid-American, which is...
I'm sorry. We're going to call it the Metro. How about that?
Fair enough.
Let's call it the Metro. So the Metro is playing a conference-only schedule. The Big Ten is playing a conference-only schedule.
But that's exciting, that Metro conference-only schedule.
So,
oof, I hate that I've missed that. So
they're like 24-0 or something, Fairfield is.
Oh, that's awesome. Congratulations.
Yeah. They swept the Jaspers over the weekend, Manhattan.
It's their attendance regulation. They're not up to 50%, I'm going to guess.
I don't know where Fairfield plays. Manhattan plays in a city park that looks like something that FNC would like spit at. In the middle of the Bronx somewhere. But anyway, so the Metro is playing its own schedule. The Big Ten's playing its own schedule. And then everybody else is being fairly normal and playing other conferences and teams and whatnot.
Sure.
And doing this thing called a season.
Right.
Well, because of that, the RPI has an issue. Because the RPI sees three different seasons.
So the computers are confused.
Well, here's the problem. They have no way to compare them.
Sure.
Like, from a strictly computer standpoint, they don't know whether the Metro are the best 12 teams in the country, all playing each other by themselves, and the Big Ten is the next best 12 teams in the country, and then everybody else is in a pile. So we have literally no way to compare Fairfield to Arkansas to Nebraska.
Sure.
None, from a computer standpoint.
Okay.
No one plays each other at all.
Right.
So you're watching three different calculations go into effect. So when Fairfield was number one in the country for, like, 4 weeks... it was because, to a computer, they were better than their opponents by a wider margin than Arkansas was better than its opponents.
So
there was a
Fairfield
bigger
gap. Was beating up Manhattan more than Arkansas
was beating
up Ole
Miss or
Auburn.
State or whomever.
Gotcha.
Yeah, right. So
gotcha.
That's all it knows to do is take the three different things, compile numbers within those subsets. So the answer is for the NCAA to just take
hold up
those teams.
Wait a minute.
And
much,
just go
no,
throw
no,
it out.
No, whoa.
That is the answer.
You
here.
Just asked for the same exact entity that we just got through talking about to have common sense. You did. You asked for hand raise guy who just got fired and replaced by a new hand raise guy to go, hey,
this is
Arkansas has played more and they're better than Fairfield. And by the way, so is every other team in that league. Even the bad ones. Auburn would smoke Fairfield. I'm going to put my mask back on now.
So, I don't know what – here's the point. I don't know what the NCAA is going to do. I don't know if they're going to take Fairfield and then even to some extent Wright State, even though Wright State has a much better argument than Fairfield because they're in the horizon. They're playing a full schedule.
Sure.
And going, hey, we're going to throw those out, and then we're going to factor in RPI for the next 16. I don't know if they take – you know what? RPI this year just doesn't matter at all. We're not even going to care. Because, like, Michigan is, like, top 25 in the country, but they have an RPI of, like, 67. They're going to be a two seed. I don't know. So, look, I do not think the NCAA is going to get crazy cute. I do not think they are going to. However, if and that's what I wrote, and a couple people got kind of annoyed with me. If there are ever a chance for them to be cute, this is it. Because the RPI is screwy. You have no common opponents. And from a hosting standpoint, there's no financial bid relevant to the bid process. From a strictly bid process, money does not matter.
So what's your gut feeling? You know these. You know the deal.
I don't think they're going to. But I do think...
You don't think they get cute?
At least not to that realm.
Okay.
Now, I think some host will have a golden goose gift where Fairfield comes in as their two. I do think it's very possible Fairfield ends up a two somewhere. Okay. And I mean, come on.
RPI's two, man.
They're RPI's two. They're not going to host. I mean, come on. But they have nowhere to. They play in a city park.
Hey, if your attendance is limited...
It would be very limited. Yeah, 45. But I do think they could get cute on what to do with them, where to send them, what to do. But this is Ole Miss's problem, is there's just no way to know. I mean, Arkansas is going to be a host. Vanderbilt's going to be a host. Tennessee is going to be a host.
Probably Mississippi State.
Probably Mississippi State, barring something weird. They're going to be a host.
They're playing like one.
And then South Carolina today's a host.
Because their RPI is higher than Ole Miss's, 11, right?
Yeah. 11 or 12.
Okay.
So... I think Ole Miss's path is 4-2 in the next six with at least two of those against the Gamecocks.
Okay.
I think they've got to either solidify against South Carolina or steal South Carolina's, depending on whether or not you believe conference affiliation matters to number of hosts. I can debate you either way. I don't know. Now, the SEC's gotten five or six hosts before, and six hosts would be Ole Miss getting one.
Sure.
And if you have a top 15 RPI in the SEC, when two of the top 15
you're going to host.
Which is a Wright State and Fairfield.
You're going to host.
Yeah. So they've got to but they've got to get the right number of wins, and they just need another good series. Their second best series right now, I guess Alabama. I think that's their second best series win. It's not a very good list.
Mm-mm, no, it's Bama. Because Bama's, what, 8-10 in the league?
Yeah. And he was on the road.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Because whoever Ole Miss played and played the second week of the season, I don't even remember. And then they lose the series to UCF.
Oh, yeah, they did, didn't they?
Yeah. They beat Belmont, Alabama, and Auburn. That's it. ULM, sorry, that's the other one.
Yeah. It's been a rough 4 weeks. When you go 4-8.
Well, it's the first time Ole Miss has lost four series in a row since 2002.
Yeah.
In 2002, they were number six in the country. They were 12-6 in the SEC, and they went 2-10 down the stretch. They went 14-16 and missed the NCAA tournament.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 12-6 to 14-16. Mike got a raise the week that they beat Alabama and went to 12-6 in the league. Your Ole Miss fun fact for the day.
It was Pete Boone or John Chaper?
His salary went from – Mike's had a few raises over the days. This would have been spring of 2002. Mike's salary went from $75,000 to $150,000 in spring of 2002. And then they lost – yeah, then they lost 10 of 12 to finish. Mike the other day told a story about how he was grateful because after that haul had happened and they'd missed, Don Kessinger came in his office and kind of gave him a little bit of a pep talk. And he was like that, you know, he goes, I still had a friend or two in town at that point because it was pretty tough on a young coach.
Sure.
But, yeah, they've lost four in a row. Look, I mean, Sunday hit it, but it was a bad weekend. I mean, Mike, to his credit,
said Saturday.
Yeah,
Neuschmidt.
Said they played as badly as they've played in years, essentially, over the course of a weekend. They were awful.
They were bad for seven innings on Saturday. It was like, whoa.
He says Gunnar Hoglund is fine. I have no reason to not believe him through Friday.
Sure.
Gunnar doesn't pitch on Friday, then we go, okay.
You start doing the Scott Biddle thing.
Yeah, what are we doing? What's the deal? Said that he felt a little better over the course of the weekend. Mike could have gone, and they just were not going to play that game.
And I respect that.
Yeah, no. Yeah. It's all good.
But there's no incentive to lie about it.
Well, no, we're all going to see here.
I mean, he's either going to be on the mound pitching or he's not. And if he's not, well, you'll know that.
Hey, there's a problem.
And if he's not, you're better off just telling people, hey, he's not pitching this weekend.
Well, I mean, you know, Ole Miss loses a game where Derek Diamond pitched his tail off on short notice. I mean, just tail off. He was great.
Yeah.
Diamond was good on Thursday.
As that was happening on Thursday, I was going, man, I sound smart.
No, he was great.
Because I've been telling you, they can't survive this without him.
And he looked like he was supposed to look on Thursday night.
Well, he was really good the whole way. I mean, the defense completely just abandoned him in the first inning. And he just – it was like he pitched it and the ball got hit somewhere and he's like, whoa.
It looked like Little League a little bit where you go, oh, God, the ball's in play. We're in trouble.
He would have had every reason, given all that's happened to him, to melt down and not be able to get out.
Instead, he got 11 in a row after that.
No, he settled down and was great.
You know, Friday night, Doug is nowhere near vintage Doug and still almost gave him six scoreless just on freaking guts and duct tape. There wasn't much there. No curveball for like four innings, and he just kept putting up zeros and –
Yeah, he was.
I mean, the pitch count got all to hell and back, but
he was kind of like Jake Arrieta,
just
when he doesn't have his great stuff and he just bulldogs his way.
Yeah, you don't blow him up. You can't get the crooked inning. To get rid of him, and you look up and you're going, God, we've hit him okay, but he's gone six and allowed one run, and it's.
No, look, I mean, all the NCAA stuff aside,
well, they got some issues.
Those last two innings will be one of two things. It will either be the catalyst that lights a fire that leads to a rally.
Or an interesting, fun little blip.
Or it will just be, hey, remember we had that two good innings?
Yeah, that was fun.
That was fun. Because they're not a good defensive team. They have a ton of bullpen issues.
And Mike was talking about the defense, and we'll take this into the next break in a second, he said, you know, we haven't been good defensively. We're not good defensively. But we've at least caught it. And I know what he means. Like, here lately, they're not catching it. Like, it's one thing to not make the extraordinary play hey, we're going to run stuff down in the gaps, but you kind of need to make the fundamental normal plays. Yeah, I mean, they're not making routine plays.
No, they need to be average.
I mean, LSU's not a bunting team, and LSU said, hey, can't field a bunt, so we're just going to bunt.
Yeah.
I mean, that was all that was.
It was a scouting report. Scouting report is make them make plays.
Yeah, bench is banged up at third base. I mean, look, credit to him, because that has to hurt like a mother. Talking to everybody in the world, my God.
And Chase, they're inexcusably bad defensively at first base for the SEC. And I'm not picking on anybody. You can't.
There's no range.
You can't be that bad defensively in the SEC at first
base. So in your corners,
I don't know why you don't at this point move somebody. You got to do something. That doesn't work. And it's very clear that he's going to stick with that, but it doesn't work. To the point where.
I'm told it's not a defensive upgrade, but I would be tempted to just play Alderman over there and see what you get.
Well, it can't be a downgrade.
I mean, literally,
I do think you're at the point where I don't know that it could be worse from a range standpoint.
Right.
And I'm not picking on the kid. I'm not. I swear I'm not.
It's not his fault.
I mean, no. I don't know him. I'm sure he's a great person, and I'm sure he's playing as hard as he possibly can.
Yeah. Not intentionally not grabbing balls.
He's not like... it's 2 feet. I'm not going to move.
Yeah. Roger Dorr.
Yeah. My contract. Hey, Skip. No, I mean, there's none of that. I'd be tempted to try Alderman for the sheer hell of it.
Yeah, whatever. Just see what it looks like. I don't know.
I mean, I would.
Yeah.
He does at least give you, as we saw the other day.
There's a physical presence.
There's a presence, and he can run into one.
Yeah, because, I mean, again, I'll carry on in a second because I got a couple things on this. But, Kemp, look, it's still raw, still work to be done.
Sure.
He's still going to strike out a lot. But
The other kid strikes.
If a guy's going to go 1 for 4 with 2 or 3 Ks and then hit one, oh, I want him to be the guy to hit it because it's a sample size that is so small. But he has 2 collegiate hits, and they're 111 miles an hour and 110 miles an hour.
Yeah.
You don't teach that.
No, he's got raw power.
He has.
Clearly.
From a right-hander, he has as much power as I've ever seen. Paul Benieri gave him a standing ovation after batting practice the other day. He's hitting shit up in the top of the trees and off the batter's eye. I mean, it's.
Yeah. At least with him on the at the plate, if you're the pitcher, seriously.
You've got to.
You know, can I get this guy out? Yeah, I can.
Yeah.
Now,
he's going to have a hard time with sliders. I mean,
do I have to bear down? I do, because if I hang my slider, he's going to hit it 400 feet because that's what he does.
Yeah.
And if I challenge him with the fastball and I don't get my location.
He's going to kill it.
He's going to hit me. So I have to focus.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm not sure that the rest of the, so there are.
There's a certain stress level that he would bring to the lineup,
sure,
that is not in other places.
Sure,
that's 100%.
Sure, I mean, can you get him out? Absolutely, you can see that in his.
Yeah, he's not ready yet.
No, he's not ready to go hit fourth or third in an SEC.
Might
lineup.
Not even be ready to play every day, but you have to put somebody in there every day.
Yeah, I mean, ideally, you could go back in time in your time machine and not tear Tim Elko's ACL and put him in there and be good to go, but you don't have that benefit, so you're left with whatever you put on the field is going to be inferior to what you had before the ACL injury, so that kind of gives you some,
you're picking a best case at this point,
gives you some room to experiment at this point. And I agree with what you wrote this morning, the top 8 seed has that has sailed.
That would take a 6-0 and help
a lot of help. That's not going to happen realistically, and that's just not a realistic thing to bank on right now. So I think that gives you an excuse as you eye the postseason. All right, let's see what we have here. Can we manipulate this enough to get a little out of him? And I think you can because of his raw power.
It's something else. Continue in 1 second. First, tell you about Tyson Drugs and G&M Pharmacy, 662-236-2222. Tyson Drugs there on the Square in Holly Springs, G&M there on South Lamar. They deliver locally in the Oxford area. Well, they offer MedSync. Fee prescriptions the same day each month and take care of you with either one trip to the pharmacy or one delivery. With Right Way Meds, they individually package your medication for those who need that, date and time stamped for anyone who needs that extra level of care there with those two pharmacies. So find out what all the community pharmacies can offer you. 662-236-2222.
About once or twice a week, I get a text or an email or a private message from someone going, hey, what's the name of that travel agent you guys have? His name's John Edwards, Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis. And those of you who have followed up and gotten in touch with John know exactly why he is as good as he is at what he does. All you've got to do is get in touch with John. Just tell him, hey, here's what I'm kind of thinking of. Here are my parameters. This is my rough budget. And then sit back. He will give you tons of options as detailed or as simple as you want, and you don't have to live in or near Memphis to take advantage of the services. 901-494-3387 or jedwards@regencytravel.net. First-time clients can save $50 off their first booked trip just by telling John you heard about Regency Travel on the podcast. It's a podcast that's also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, Grenada Nissan's the place to go. They have a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles, great lease deals as well. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. And we are brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you can want, all with the personal touch. No 10 buttons to push, no 5 minutes to wait, just great customer service. To learn more, go to liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. I'll have a mailbag up on Rebel Grove on Wednesday. It's brought to you by Whitney McNutt of Tommy Morgan Incorporated Realtors, serving you for all your real estate needs in Oxford and Tupelo. She sells condos, land, commercial, and residential family homes. If you want to get in touch with Whitney, you can. 662-567-2573. Or 662-842-3844.
Yeah, reading this in the thread a little bit, look, offensively is not necessarily their issue. I mean, they're getting shut down by some good pitchers, but every team gets shut down by some pretty good pitchers. They look like a above average lineup that's missing its best hitter. I mean, that's what they are. They're an above average lineup that's missing Tim Oko. I think Tim's going to take some batting practice this week, but temper some expectations.
You can't bank on that.
He's essentially going to be wearing a football Lindsey Miller knee brace. I think, and this is just my opinion, look, he could start next week and I could be wrong, but sure. I feel very confident in my opinion. Is best case scenario, you're talking about pinch hits late in the season. Anything beyond that would blow my mind.
Kirk Gibsoning.
I mean, essentially, yeah.
Yeah.
Where you get one at bat, because here's the thing, too. You know, he has to be able to fully load on that knee. I mean, Tim Oko, the singles hitter. I don't need Tim Oko, the singles hitter. He's right. got to be able to drive the baseball if right. he's going to be able to play.
Right.
You know, I think he probably comes back next season.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a win for Ole Miss. I mean, frankly, from a draft standpoint, I think Ole Miss could have damn near their whole lineup back next year.
Well, and if you're Tim, you try this.
Because the time frame allows you to try this. It doesn't matter.
Right. But if you get 2-3 weeks into this and you're like, this is just
then you have
excruciating, you go have the surgery.
Because it's going to hurt. I mean, look, it's going to hurt like hell. Yes, Lindsey Miller
Esquire.
And his red knee brace.
Oh, man. People ask me all the time, what's one of the best days on the beat? That day was one of the best days on the beat.
In the courtroom that day?
It was sad in some ways.
It's sad because even Faris knows it's sad. Well, like, even Faris is going out.
It was all fun and games until the little boy started crying. And then it was like, okay I want to leave now. But before that, when he was playing...
When it's just adults being morons, then it's...
When he was playing attorney... Against Faris.
Against Faris. I told you, I still firmly believe that Faris got up that morning and went, you know, I could send an associate, but I got to see this. I'm sorry, I gotta go.
Well, the funniest part, the worst part for me was I was having such a hard time not laughing. And the bailiff guy in the back, he, on one hand, wanted to discipline me for almost laughing, and yet he was having a harder time than I was not laughing. And so every once in a while, he and I would make eye contact, and he wanted to be mad at me, but then he would start laughing. And it was great. It was...
Did he understand protocols enough to even get through? Or do you have to have enough help to even understand, like, what's next? What do you do?
The judge and Faris were both trying to help him through.
The opposing counsel
yes.
was helping him through it.
Yeah. 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 And then a few times Laramie would start laughing. And that's when I would laugh, when Laramie would start laughing. And it's just the whole... And the knee brace was... It was Ole Miss colored.
Well, it was Laramie's.
Yeah.
It was his knee brace.
Yeah. And you're like looking at that going, okay, I've seen Laramie in action. And if Laramie wanted to hurt you...
To mangle you.
Laramie could mangle you while he was on a phone with a friend eating a lollipop. This is an act. And it was... And then the little boy got up there and cried, and everybody felt bad at that point. We just wanted to go home.
At that point, hey, stop.
But for about an hour, it was one of the highlights of my time on the beat.
So anyway, offensively, that's where they're at. Defensively, we've discussed it. Look, it just is what it is defensively. They've got to catch the routine balls. If Ole Miss has any chance of doing it in the postseason, they have to catch the routine plays.
Yeah.
They're never going to be awesome. Just do what you're supposed to
do. And the bullpen's got to get better. And that's I wrote about this a little bit because, you know, I watched some of the Saturday game before I left for the Grove Bowl. The unsung hero in that Saturday game was
Jack
the Daugherty kid.
I mean, he doesn't do that, and they have no chance of coming back at all.
Yeah, if 9-1 becomes, say, 11-1.
It's over.
Yeah, just at some point.
Even mentally.
At some point. One of the things that lets you stay in it is you're like, hey, they've been stuck at 9 for a little while, and our 1 has become 3 and 5, and now you're, you know, when you're within 4, you tell yourself, hey, man, a grand slam.
It's the, and Mike mentioned it, it's the best credit to the offense is that, I mean, I'm watching it too. I talked to Mike Clement about it for a minute this morning. Chatney hits that home run, makes it 9-5.
Mm-hmm.
but it clears the bases, and it allows LSU to reset, at least you think. The stadium kind of gets quiet again. That was a cool moment, but nobody's on base. I mean, logically, you want all the runs you can get, but in some ways, a double there keeps things going more than a home run
people
because there's still
on the
traffic,
bases
and it's going and going and going and going. Ole Miss's offensive ability to reset the situation is huge right there.
Well,
that you're
they've
not
done it
just
twice
done.
Now, which is why I don't think when people go, this lineup, I'm like, I don't know, your lineup's fine. It's not your lineup. It's your defense and your bullpen that's killing you.
Yeah.
That's what's beating you. I mean, the reason that in these last 12 games that you went 4-8 instead of 6-6 or 7-5 is not your offense. The reason that your defense is atrocious at times, and your bullpen's been undependable.
Yeah, you would have won both games had your bullpen just – or you would have won two series in a row, sorry.
Yeah,
had your
well, I mean,
been
of
decent.
Those 12 games, you would have gone 6-6 or 7-5, and we'd be having a completely different conversation right now. As it is, I mean, you're fortunate that you didn't go 3-9.
Yeah, look, Doherty, you've got to keep throwing him out there. He looked pretty good. He was
absolutely.
He was poised. I mean, Mike may have gotten two gifts from the heavens because I don't remember any situation. And look, this is somewhat relevant to the current roster and the need for these guys that you're not deep and you're searching anywhere.
Sure.
But he was redshirting Doherty and Alderman as late as 2 weeks ago on both of them, a week ago on Alderman. And they had only been playing in these simulated games. So, like, on Wednesday or Thursday, Mike lets guys who are not getting enough innings on the mound or guys redshirting or guys not getting plate appearances essentially take live action against other players to see how they're doing, progress, get some work in. And
just shake some rust off.
Yeah, and Alderman and Doherty had been dominating. I mean, Alderman's hitting the ball. Doherty's getting outs. And you look up and you go, well, I mean, nothing else is working. Let's see what you got.
Well, no, it's the very same thing I said with Alderman is, at this point, why not?
Because I was ready to criticize Mike, and it's probably still the one thing. And he would say, well, we weren't out. The score was what the score was, and we were still in it. But when it was like 6-1 or 7-1, and they brought Miller in, I thought, you know what you've got with Miller. Bring in some young kids, and let's just see what this looks like. You know, bring in Adcock and do whatever you're going to do. And Mike mentioned that Adcock was coming in when it was 9-2. Or 9-1. He said, but then, and he kind of made a joke, which this was interesting, kind of made me think Mike might be reading a little bit more than Mike typically does, or at least seeing and not in his insulated bubble as usual, because I asked him, I said, hey.
Oh, I know what you're about to say.
I said, hey, I'm just kind of curious, when did Taylor get up? I looked and saw him throwing, but I wasn't paying attention until then. And he said, well, as soon as it went 9-5, he said, I was going to throw Adcock. I knew I could get one inning out of Taylor, maybe two. And as soon as it went 9-5, he was coming in anyway. He's like, because in my head, well, we're within four. He keeps it right there, and you never know. I mean, who's wind's blowing out, strange stuff. And I don't know the exact verbatim, but Mike said something like, yeah, I'm sure people would have had plenty to say that I'm using my closer in a 9-5 game.
Yeah, I mean, look, you can be a coach and pretend that you hear nothing,
yeah,
and that it's cute.
But your Twitter mentions tell a different story. Some point, he has to hit that little button right there and scroll back to the top, and –
I mean, even if you have somebody do it for you,
yeah.
He lives in a town. People talk. Sure. He has people. Come on.
Yeah.
It's. I mean, again, I admire the people that say I do everything I can to avoid hearing it. Cool, but you hear it.
Yeah, and some do better than others.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, fair. And then he laughed. He goes, "It looked really genius because he was completely loose by the time we had gotten it to 9-9." He's like, "But."
Sure.
Throw it in any way, it just was what it was.
But it was a big win. Maybe they can build on it because there was more to it, in my opinion, than just the comeback because of who did it for you. Like, if you win the game because, you know, I don't know, McCants hits another one, the fact that it was Alderman and the fact that I thought Darty's role was so big.
Yeah, one
critical.
Run over 3.1.
Because McDaniel was not particularly sharp. He got hit and.
Yeah, got banged around.
Yeah, you know, so the fact that you were able to steady the game is get maybe a building block moving forward. But for it to be a building block moving forward, you got to get better on defense, period. Or else all of this momentum talk is just going to be in one ear and out the other. Because you play a South Carolina team this weekend coming up that
– good team.
They're good.
They're good.
They're fine.
They're really good at home and fairly good on the road.
Yeah. I watched some of their series against Arkansas. They just got beat for the most part. They're fine. We do the restaurant thing, you know, where you go to a restaurant, people go, how was it? It was fine. People go, what does that mean? It means that. It means it was fine. I mean, it was fine. I'm not going to stop my life and go nowhere but there for the rest of my of time. But it was fine. I'd go back. South Carolina's kind of that team. You watch them and you go, hey, okay. But you never watch them and go, oh, man, world beaters.
No.
You know, I mean, frankly, Ole Miss is better than South Carolina. Not by a ton, and you can't give them extra outs all over the place and expect to win the game. And when you have an opportunity to win the game, you got to close the door on them. I think it's a big weekend for them. It's kind of it feels to me, and you can tell me I'm wrong, it feels kind of like a litmus test right here in the late part of the SEC season. If you're going to do anything, you have to do it now.
I pulled up Warren Nolan to look at some Pythagorean expectations or whatever you call it, and Ole Miss is playing well enough in their minds with their upcoming schedule to go 17-13. If they do that, in a normal year would be in a line to host at that point. They have Vanderbilt winning the league at 23-7 is what they have on their Pythagorean. Yeah. Although that would be hot as a firecracker. Vanderbilt's currently 13-5. That'd be 10-2 the rest of the way.
Vanderbilt's pretty human right now. They're good. They're really good.
I mean, Leiter gave up some stuff the other day.
Got hit a little bit.
Rocker was good.
Yeah, he was real good.
Because we kind of, and nobody means to do it, but everybody celebrates Leiter to the point that almost like people think, oh, you're criticizing Rocker. It's like, no, he's still a top five pick too.
Oh, for sure.
You know, it's he's there. Gunner, MLB.com, put out their latest mock today. Gunner was 13. However, they said that was mostly due to him missing his start, that if he comes back this week, he will be higher than that
sure. When
they update. But they just put him in a weird spot right now.
Sure, if you're an MLB team, you're like, whoa.
Yeah. Jackson Job out of Oklahoma, the first-round pick that has signed with Ole Miss, he was at number 10 overall, and he has he's emerged as the best prep arm in the nation.
I don't like his chances to get here.
No, that's when you do a little too good at recruiting.
Yep.
That's not the area you need to be that's not the waters you need to be swimming in when you're a college baseball program.
Hard time getting the kid to skip the 10th pick in the draft.
Yeah. That's when you just call him and go, hey, I appreciate it.
Good luck.
Yeah. The one I laughed about forever, because message boards would do this some and different things, was Jamison Talon back in the day. He was committed to Rice, and everybody's like, come on. Like, yeah. Okay, it's celebrated. Good job. Like, it's going to be all right.
If we send you some T-shirts, will you wear them sometime?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, hey, you're our guy, right?
Yeah, right.
Okay, cool. That's fair. Oh, Lord. Podcast brought to you in part by Visit Oxford. Visit OxfordMS.com. Go to the events page, see what else is going on locally here this weekend. Pretty successful spring pop-up edition over the week. Still more to come with that. Got a bike race. Got a car show coming in a couple weeks. And this weekend, double-decker bus tours, 3 and 4 o'clock on Friday for those. Last about an hour. Go over campus and the city of Oxford. Some fun facts that even people locally have not heard before. So take advantage of that. You can get a reservation there at Visit Oxford. Tunes around town on Saturday. And then art vendors back this weekend again, 10 to 5 on Saturday for art vendors scattered throughout the square. So again, visit OxfordMS.com/events.
Podcast also brought to you by the law firm of Bain, Moss & Bowen, located in historic downtown Corinth. Their firm practices a wider range of law, from DUI defense to car wrecks to representing government entities. Bain, Moss & Bowen's the only firm in Mississippi made up of a sitting state legislator, a former assistant district attorney, and a former circuit court judge. Their experience is unmatched in that regard, and you can tap into it by visiting them at 618 East Waldron Street in Corinth, or by calling them at 662-287-1620. Also brought to you by Alpha Specialties, located at 1670 Highway 80 in Pearl, Mississippi. It's your trailer-specific professional. If you want to haul it, they can call it. It's the premium trailer dealership in Mississippi. They've got Load Trail. It's the premium brand trailer, the highest quality equipment, utility, dump, and gooseneck trailer being built today. Fully primed and powder-coated, Load Trail trailers come with an industry-leading 3-year warranty and 2 years of roadside assistance. They also have Hallmark cargo trailers. They can work with third parties to have game day trailers and concession trailers built. They have spare tires and wheels starting at just $100. They have a full selection of trailer parts and accessories, hitches, winches, straps, and more. So get in touch with Alpha, and don't forget they've got a full service shop. You can get 10% off a yearly trailer service and inspection just by mentioning the podcast. 601-932-9798, or check them out at alphaofms.com. Blue Delta Jeans makes the best fitting, most comfortable jeans in the world because they are uniquely made for you and only you. Raw denim jeans, custom fit, and hand tailored in Tupelo, Mississippi. One size fits one at BlueDeltaJeans.com. And we're brought to you by The Rogue. It's your destination for fine men's clothing. Their stylist hand select pieces from top designers. From work to lifestyle to nightlife, there's the perfect something for everyone at The Rogue. All the best items from Peter Millar, Martin Dingman, Jack Victor, Duckhead, Halsey, True Grit, and more. At The Rogue, 4450 I-55 North in Jackson, or therogue.com.
Football, save it for tomorrow. What do you want to do?
No, we can talk about it a little bit. Look, here's the two themes that for me, and you had a lot of baseball, so you didn't see nearly as much of the spring as I did. The two things that stuck out to me over the course of the spring, one is an intangible that we'll see in the fall if it means what I think it means.
Okay.
And if I'm wrong, I'll come back and go, I was wrong. No big deal. There's a better energy around them. Teams adopt the personality of head coaches.
They do.
Almost always. If you have a real business-like head coach, a team gets real business-like. Alabama's that way. You can tell when you watch Alabama play, you can tell that they have been indoctrinated into the Saban way.
Of course, yeah.
This team gets its work done. It shows up. It gets its work done. And then it has fun. They're loose. They don't freak out. They just sort of do their thing. They are who they are. The whole offense is about score from far and be explosive and all of that stuff. And that's their personality. And I think it's really good. I think that's a good personality to have. I think if you were to put truth serum into Lane Kiffin and say, what does spring mean to you? Not much. Put some stuff in. Evaluate some guys. Get a look at some things. Get comfortable. Let's try not to get anybody hurt. Let's save our best. Let's not peak in the spring, for God's sake. And defensively, though, what's obvious is that they're better. They're just better. They're far more athletic on the back end. They're deeper. They're longer. When I say that, I mean there's just more wingspan. There's just more athleticism. They have taken a detriment. Last year, at times, the secondary sucked.
Well, look.
And this year, I think it's a possibility, and maybe even a distinct possibility, that the secondary is going to be a positive.
The offense, everybody was banged up. The guys out there were nowhere near the 11 that will be on the field when they open against Louisville.
Oh, no.
I mean, Brown's not playing. Mingo's, like, there's all sorts of stuff.
Well, I mean, they had people at running back that I was having, like, look at the depth chart.
Snoop Connor was coaching the dudes on where to line up.
Yeah.
No offense to Walker and those dudes. I mean, they're walk-ons.
Yeah, but, sure.
I mean, literally, it's like, hey, go here, go here, do this, do this.
I mean, Kentrell Bullock didn't even play.
Yeah, so they're way down the list, but...
15.
There have been times where that defense still would have been torched by those dudes.
Yeah, last year.
And that didn't happen. I mean, the defense kind of dominated the majority of the spring from a scrimmage, what we were able to see standpoint.
The young DBs are game changers.
That's what I'm saying. And, like, to the point where you go, hey, that even with the situation, that wouldn't have happened last year. They still would have had some windows and different things. I mean, it's spring, so he's not losing his mind. But, I mean, you and I laughed about it. I mean, Lane stayed pretty frustrated a pretty good bit from an offensive standpoint over the last few weeks.
Well, that third scrimmage, he was
animated.
He was trying not for everybody to see it, but he was getting a little like, hey, can we make a play here at some point, maybe?
Yeah, because they were getting popped.
Everybody talks about Tysheen Johnson, and he's terrific. Like, I don't know how the hell he got rated what he was rated out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, not Mississippi, so don't blame the guys down here. I like Washington, 25.
Yeah,
I don't know how much you saw of him. I like him. I like the Breedlove kid. De'Andre Price Prince is back. You can tell he's back to being the player he was as a freshman.
He was good.
I like Miles Battle at corner. I'm not ready to do the he's a first-round pick stuff. Like, that feels like maybe we're trying a little too hard.
But he's bought in.
Well, yeah, and he gives you some length and some speed, and he gives you a guy who can cover, and they're better up front. They have some depth up front. I still think they're a guy short. Like, if I'm them, I'm figuring out a way to add an edge guy. Sam Williams looks a lot more focused than he was a year ago when he had some problems.
And do you what do you actually get out of Iton and Gordon?
Yeah, it's too early to say.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, if the season were being played right now, not a whole lot.
Yeah.
But the season isn't played right now. And so what you hope with those guys is that you got some of the, hey, we're swimming so much that we forget to play, that you get some of that out of the way in the spring. But they're better. And then you see, like, Corral and Braylon hook up, and it's like Matt still loves that deep ball, and he still throws a beautiful deep ball, and they've got some receivers, and they probably need to add another weapon on offense. I think they will. They're interesting. They're, I mean, if you tell me the over-under on wins is 7, I'm going over just based, and not even on offense, based on what I see out of the defense. And you watch the defense throughout the spring, and I did. I went to every scrimmage that was open. I went to the Grove Bowl until I needed to get back to get on the Zoom. And what you see out of that defense, Chase, is energy, confidence, enthusiasm, continuity. And it seems crazy to think that just that one Outback Bowl against a good Indiana team,
sure,
where they played pretty well on defense, that just that one Outback Bowl, because before that, LSU torched them, State torched them, Alabama put up 800 yards. Hell, Arkansas put up a bunch of points. I mean, everybody torched them last year. But that one game seemed to have given them a little jolt. And then they've kind of adopted this personality a little bit. And they do have some leaders on that team, on that side of the ball. Jaquez Jones, Lakia Henry, Miles. Oh, hell, we talked to him last week. They've got dudes on that side of the ball who've played a lot of football. Jalen Jones. A lot of those guys who've played a lot of football who have a lot of pride. And you see that right now. And I think they've got a chance. I don't think it's unrealistic that you will look up at the end of next season and go, yeah, you know what, Ole Miss is an average defense. And that might be more than enough. And I think it's within the realm. Now, they got to, like, Chance Campbell has to come in and play.
Sure.
They've got to do some, this is what I'm about to say, some things have to go well. But there's a chance that you look up at the end of the season, and, you know, this is a slightly above average SEC defense. And if that's the case, quite frankly, there's only a game or two on the schedule that they can't win. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not calling for 10-2 at all. But they were in every game last year. I mean, no one beat the hell out of them last year. I don't think anyone's going to just line up and beat the hell out of them this year. I think it's got a chance to be a really entertaining season.
Well, look, what you're talking about is a lot of guys coming on, some new faces that are playing well, but even beyond that, just expectations being met with having Otis Reese for a full season, Jake Springer doing what you hope
for
expect Jake Springer to do, and then Campbell, as you mentioned, coming in from Maryland. I mean, just those three dudes in your back seven changes everything, potentially, having them day after day after day after day.
Johnson's got a chance to be a star back there. When everybody talks about him.
Yeah.
Including kids who are going to lose playing time to him.
Uh-huh.
They're going to be different. And look, Reese is an impact player.
Yeah, sure.
And they only had him for 2 games last year, or 3 games, whatever it was.
And they played better when he was out
there. They were much better. Because I know this is shocking, but when you have good players on the field, suddenly you become a better team because
they lose the Outback Bowl if Otis Reese doesn't play.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
You know, they win the LSU game if Braylon doesn't get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Because they played that game without Elijah Moore, without Kenny Yeboah. Yeah. And it's one of the things that kind of drives me a little crazy, and we do it in media. Everybody's going, oh, boy, you've got to replace Elijah Moore. You got to replace Kenny Yeboah. I'm like, guys, they didn't play the last 2 games. Mm-hmm. And I don't blame them for leaving. For Elijah, it was certainly the right call. I mean, you know, he had nothing left to prove and everything to lose in a weird year, and he won the Egg Bowl and said, hey, I probably need to look out for me now.
Mm-hmm.
I had no problem with that. Ole Miss played 2 games without those guys. And truth is, they played the Outback Bowl with no Yeboah. Jerrion didn't play. Braylon didn't play.
Mm-hmm.
So when people go, well, boy, how are they going to replace these guys? Well, they've kind of done it a little already. And you're going to get Jerrion back.
Yeah.
And Braylon's going to presumably be healthy. And I think they're going to add an impact offensive guy. And Snoop Connor's going to be back. And Henry Parrish didn't play the other day.
And you like Bullock.
And I like Bullock. What I saw, I mean, do I want Kentrell Bullock as my bell cow on offense? Probably not.
But it's number three?
Or a four?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. And honestly, the Walker kid, Jaquizi, is that how you say it? He did some nice things.
There's enough running back depth to move Ely all over the field if that's what they decide to do.
Yes.
And just play him.
And the offensive line is going to look a lot better when Ben Brown's at center.
Of course.
Because he's an NFL center.
Yeah.
And he wasn't out there during the spring, and so they did the smart thing. They said, hey, I know this is going to mean we're going to lose a scrimmage or two, but let's experiment on the offensive line. Mm-hmm. And in that experiment, they found that Cedric Melton is a pretty damn good right guard.
Right.
They went a whole year thinking, this is a guy that's a tackle, he's a little bit of a project. And they said, hey, we have some time here. Let's test something, kind of like a recipe.
Yeah, sure.
Hey, no one's eating this but us. So let's try this. And lo and behold, that's not bad. And so Melton can play guard.
Yeah.
And that gives you some versatility now.
So, talk more football, talk some draft, and more coming up as the week moves on. Same time tomorrow, as well, as far as I'm aware. I'm sorry, normal time tomorrow, as far as I'm aware. Anyway, we'll be back there. Appreciate all the comments in the stream and everybody else who is listening wherever you are. Nice outside today, so be safe. Take advantage of the weather. We'll talk to you tomorrow.